Come on. All right. Well, hey, listen, we were at, you know, at coffee this morning, and you started to tell your story about moving from Sheffield, England, to the United States to work with 3DM. Actually, you're the national team leader of 3DM now. And the story that you began to tell us, I felt would be really beneficial to our covenant partners. We can all weigh in at different times. But would you mind just telling us this story again? You know, you came to the church and they gave you guys this house, right?
Yeah. I mean, the church were really generous to us and really honoring, really. A wealthy member of the church bought a house for us to rent, because when you first come to the States,
yes, Lord,
you can't get a mortgage or whatever. So we had to rent a house. So she bought this house to rent to us. It was, 4,000 square foot house, triple garage, on about 3/4 of an acre of land, in a neighborhood with a swimming pool and a golf course and lakes and woods. And I mean, it was amazing. And it was kind of like, welcome to America. Let us just give you the American dream. Mm. You know, it was amazing. And for us as Brits, used to living in a urban, very densely populated urban setting.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, this is awesome. You know? Yeah. But as we began to get to know our neighbours, and you know, it's a bit of a walk to get to your neighbours, but we went round and we took brownies round and said hi to people and so on. And people were civil. They were polite, but it became increasingly clear that there was almost nobody who was interested in forming any kind of relationship. And we realized that those sorts of neighborhoods, basically people choose them because they want privacy, they don't want community,
right?
More of a back deck culture than a front porch culture.
Exactly. Yeah, there was very little of that front porch thing going on. Yeah. So yeah, and so, and even to the extent that there was one couple, one elderly couple who lived next door on one side, and after really kind of making a lot of effort to spend time with them and so on, Ellie began to become friends with the lady, who's a woman in her 80s, and ended up praying for her and things like that. And it got to the point where she said, you know, I'd really like to come to your church with you sometime. So we were delighted about that. It got to winter and they went to Phoenix. It's all the snowbirds.
Yeah, right.
So then we had to wait 6 months. And then when they finally came back, they decided they were going to move down here, actually, to Kansas City to be with their kids. So, I mean, it was just any opportunity we seemed to have just went. And you know, we've been raised in this kind of missional discipleship culture since we were young adults. And so we've got quite a clear set of principles of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, the people of peace teaching in Luke 10 is really key.
Right.
And it's very clear, which is this: you knock on doors, you see if your peace rests with anybody, if there are people of peace. If there aren't, you shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. And so we basically persevered for about 18 months in that neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and got nowhere. And so we thought, this is crazy. We've got to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And that was fair. It was a fair thing to say. Like, yeah. there's no open door here.
So let's go and find an open door.
Right.
So then we started asking friends and folks at church, and just trying to ask around. Like, we're thinking, really, if we're going to go, Jesus, when he sent the disciples, he always sent them in twos, at least two.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like two's the minimum unit of the kingdom. I mean, Jesus even sent two disciples to go and get a donkey, you know? So there's probably, exactly, there's probably not much he's asking us to do on our own. And for us, we would say, that's two units. So that doesn't just mean if you're a couple, you're good. We would feel like we need at least one other couple or single person that we can partner with, so that there's a sense of team and core team doing this thing.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, we need to find a neighborhood to move into where there are two things we're looking for. One, there's evidence that there's some fruit there. There's some people of peace, or there's some openness, at least openness to community, if not to the Lord.
Right.
And secondly, we need at least one other couple or single person, somebody that we can partner with, so there's a sense of a core team. So that's what we were praying for and looking for. And it took us a few months of praying and looking, but then there was a couple who were friends of ours in the church, and they said, well, you know, we've actually got to know quite a lot of neighbours, and there is a real community feel, And we've actually got to know some neighbours who are kind of interested in the things of God, who don't know the Lord, but we don't know what to do. I mean, it's like we're busy, we haven't got much time. We feel like we've not really been able to capitalise on that. Yeah. They said, is there any chance that you could come and move into our neighbourhood and help us?
Mm-hmm.
So we were excited about that. We thought, yeah, that's exactly what we're looking for. But this neighbourhood, it's called Longwood, and it's in the north of Fort Wayne where we live. And there hadn't been a house come up for sale in Longwood since 2009. So 7 years, there hadn't been a single house come
wow.
up. So we were like, okay, well, we'd love to do it, but I mean, we can't do it if there's no house. So we met with them and we all prayed together. And a week later, the house next door to them came
no.
up for sale. Yeah. Yeah. And it was perfect for us. It
That's
was
awesome.
Exactly the right size for us. It had the right number of bedrooms. It was perfect size for us. And had a much smaller yard, which was great because we'd been spending 4 hours a week cutting the grass on the last yard, which was getting too much for us. So,
you on that, man.
So then we had another challenge, which was, and you know, if you really want to live a life of mission and community, and you're really taking it seriously, you can't expect it to just be smooth sailing. I mean, there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be a battle involved. We're not operating on a level playing field here. The enemy will actively come against us and try to stop us from doing stuff. So let's just be clear.
Mm.
You know, if we're going to set our lives to do these things, we have to be intentional, forceful, and just keep pressing in until we get there. So the first thing was the house thing. Now we knew there was a house available. The next thing was we went and tried to find out about getting a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told, you guys only have 3 months left on your visa, because we had to renew our visa. You only have 3 months left on your visa. You can't get a mortgage unless you have at least 3 years on your visa if you're a non-permanent resident. And so we were just told there's absolutely no chance that you can get a mortgage. Well, we couldn't buy a house. We didn't have the cash to buy a house without a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought, we think God's calling us to do this. We think we're seeking the kingdom first. We think God will provide. So we just applied to a whole load of different banks and things. And we got offered like a 15-year, 3% fixed-rate mortgage.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awesome. So within like 6 weeks of making the decision we were going to go for this thing, we were able to move into the house.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So
yeah,
God provided, good. You know. But that was, but there was a, you know, there's a lot of prayer going in there. There's a lot of seeking the Lord. You know, you're asking God to open the door to do those things.
Yeah. So you've been there how long?
That was in March of this year that we moved in.
Okay. Now, this morning, when you were telling us the story, you were telling us about the strategy that you guys are thinking through, particularly around up, in, and out, right? So the people who are with you, who are following Jesus, your core team, you guys are thinking about things one way, and then you're thinking, man, as people come into our this missional community, they're going to come in and experience things. Do you remember that? Do you remember what we were talking about this morning?
I mean, I think,
I'm really hoping so, man, because it was brilliant.
Well, you know, having had 20 years of experience of missional communities, there's a few things we've learned about what we should do and what we shouldn't do and so on. And there are the two things that stop missional communities from being effective in my experience are, one, there's a constant gravity away from mission. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you dilute mission. So mission becomes service projects instead of reaching people who don't know Jesus.
Hmm.
So to me, when we say out, we mean, when we're talking about up and out, when we say out, we mean people who don't know Jesus. We don't mean folks in the church who need a bit of support and help. That's great, but that's in. Yeah.
Right.
So that's the first thing, is that you have to be very intentional about, it's about reaching people with the gospel. Hmm. And we're going to keep on that. The second thing that stops missional communities being effective is that as they begin to grow, often they grow with a lot of Christians joining.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some kind of leaders starting a community, and everyone else thinks, oh, I like them and they could look after me well. So they say, yeah, we're up for your vision. We'll join your missional community. And so then you get flooded with Christians, and then there's no room for non-Christians. So that's part of it.
Wow.
And also that even if you grow through people coming to know Jesus, there comes a point where you're full, and it's really, really difficult to multiply. And you have to be very intentional about multiplying that community. It's a sacrifice to multiply because you've formed great friendships. You don't want to separate from each other.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that, it will in the end go stagnant. It will end up being inward looking. Of the increase of his kingdom and his government, there is no end.
Mm.
So if you're not if you haven't set the expectation that we're going to pay the cost that it, you know, it is a costly thing to keep multiplying so that we can keep reaching more people, then in the end it becomes stagnant. So we were set on that from the beginning. So we had a vision that was an up-in-out vision, and the out vision was we want to reach the people of Longwood neighbourhood who don't know Jesus. The in vision was we want to be great neighbours who are learning to operate like family together. Mm-hmm. And the up vision was we want to not just know about God, but we also actually want to get to know God. And so what we would do is we would, in if Christians said they wanted to join us, we would invite them with the outward vision. So we'd say, we'd love you to join, but only if this is your vision. Our vision is to reach the people of Longwood neighborhood. So I mean, hang on, you don't even live in Longwood neighborhood, how's that going to work? I mean, that's what we're doing. And you know,
and it was fair to say that.
I mean, that, because if we don't do that, then we'll just get flooded with Christians and then we won't be able to do anything. And there was one couple that said, yeah, we don't live in Longwood neighborhood, we live in the next neighborhood along, we're, you know, half a mile away, but we really want to learn how to do this from you guys. And so in order to do that, we're going to commit for the next year to be part of your missional community. And during that time, we will commit to your neighborhood and we'll help you reach your people.
For one calendar year.
Yeah. And then at the end of that, we want you to multiply us out and send us back to Pine Valley, which is the next neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the same thing that you've taught us. So we're good with that. That's great. You know, great. Come and do that with us. And it actually worked as well, because with that couple, the woman... is a substitute teacher at the local school who teaches a lot of the kids in our neighborhood anyway. So they had some natural connections, so it made sense. But with the non-Christians, what we're trying to do is we're basically, it's a bit like a funnel. You start by spreading the net really wide. We're just copying the People of Peace principle in Luke 10. So we actually literally did what it said. And I know it's a bit culturally alien, but I mean, maybe because we're Brits, we could get away with it. I don't know. But I think pretty much, I think you can get away with it. We just did exactly what Jesus said. So we basically, on our street, we live in a cul-de-sac, so our street, and then the street behind our street that the yard's back onto, because actually in the summer you see more, those people more than you see the people on your own street. So we decided to go around those two streets, and we just knocked on every single door, and if no one was in, we went back another time until we caught them. And we just said, really simple, we just said, hey, we've just moved in, we're your new neighbours, we live in that house over there, we just thought we'd say hi, introduce ourselves. It's interesting, you know, a whole load of emotions goes over the face of a suburban American when you do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking about the emotions that are going through your heart, you know.
Yeah, well, I hate doing that. I'm a total non-evangelist. My wife had to force me to do it.
Okay, so tell me about doing that when you hate to do it. If you're like, why would you do it if you hate to do it?
Because it's what Jesus told us to do. I mean, the thing for us is, the thing about the gospel is, it's we like to make it complicated but easy. We like to make it complex because then we can be clever explaining it. Yeah. We like it to be easy because then we can do it. Actually, it's real simple, but really hard.
Right.
Yeah. And it's simple. Jesus said, go and knock on doors and say peace. And if your peace rests with them, stay with them. So let's think, what are we going to do?
Let's go knock on some doors.
And say,
So literally, just line by line, you guys
We just went around. We just said, we're the new neighbors. We wanted to say hi. Let us introduce ourselves. We actually, some of the time we brought our girls with us, sometimes they weren't with us, but we said we've got two daughters, Grace and Hannah, and we found out the names of everybody, and if they had kids, the names of their kids. And then Ellie printed off a Google map of our two streets, and on every house we wrote the names of the people who lived there and their family.
Brilliant.
So within, what, a month of moving into that neighborhood, we knew the names of everybody. There probably wasn't anyone else on that street that knew the names of everybody on those two streets. And we'd in the summer, we'd sit out in our backyard and we'd play a little game where I'd point at a house and say, who lives there? And Ellie would say, oh, that's Steve and Carol and their kids, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. The next thing we did was we got cards, an invitation card. And, of course, now we knew their names, so we personalized it. We wrote their own names on it. And we invited them. We said, we're going to do, for us, we're English. People in that part of the world find that interesting, so we'll use that. I mean, everyone's got something they can use. So we said, we're going to have an English tea party in our front, in our backyard on a Saturday afternoon. And we wrote them an invitation. Yeah. And so we went round, gave that to everybody. And then when that Saturday came, we ran it between 2 and 5 in the afternoon. Over that period of time, about 40 people came. And there's no religious content, nothing like that. This is just to get to know you. It's a kingdom win for the neighborhood, because frankly, you know, even just the basic thing of neighbors getting to know each other, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know,
right. And it wasn't just you getting to know your neighbors too, but actually yeah. separate neighbors.
Yeah, we're serving them, aren't we? We're serving them
for the first time.
Well, yeah. And our girls, who are teenagers, our oldest is 17, our youngest 14, all the kids that came, our girls took the kids, took them out into the street and organized games with them. So now all the kids on those two streets all know each other.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And that's really awesome as well, isn't it? Because then, I mean, playing in the street, it's what kids should be doing, but actually what kids do less and less compared to what they used to do, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really good. But what we're doing while we're doing that event, and then we had another couple of events in the summer as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple more events like that. And what we were doing during that time was that we and our neighbours, our co-team, are trying to identify, of those neighbours, who are the ones that basically, they're not interested in God or whatever, we just want to bless them, that's fine. And who are the ones who actually are people of peace that actually would be open to us discipling them?
Yeah.
And we're looking for the people who welcome us, listen to us, and serve us, because those are the dynamics in Luke 10 that Jesus describes.
Yeah. So again, line by line, just taking Jesus at his word, just doing the stuff.
Just doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because some of the people are not the people you'd expect. So there's one couple, they're not married, they live together, they've got broken marriages, their kids are pretty screwed up. I think she probably has a bit of an alcohol problem. He had tattoos from his neck down to his feet. They weren't like the clean cut kind of churchy type folks at all.
Mm-hmm.
But with that event that we did, they were the first there. They actually gave us a card that said welcome to the neighborhood that had like a Home Depot gift card in it. No one else did that, you know. And at the end when everyone went, they stayed and helped us clear down. And we're thinking, nailed on, people of peace.
Right.
You know, these are people who are open. They're welcoming us. They're listening to us. They're serving us.
Yeah.
And there were a few other people like that.
Yeah.
And so in the end then, we got to the point where we built some friendship. We built into that friendship a bit over the summer. And then come the fall, so come September, we actually invited them to join our missional community.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with the Christians, we invited them based on the vision.
Yeah.
But with the people who don't know Jesus, we didn't give them the outward vision, because actually they are the out.
Yeah. So see, this is what I think is brilliant right here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, we gave them the up and the in vision.
I love that.
So we said, look, guys, you know, it's been great getting to know you, becoming friends over the summer. Us as a family with our next door neighbors, we're gonna do this thing every week where we're going to meet together and eat together. And the purpose of what we're doing is two things. One, we want to learn how to be great neighbors who feel like family. And the second one is we want to not just know about God, but actually get to know God.
Yeah,
would you be interested?
Amazing. And how many people were?
Well, there were some people that at that point said no. So there's one couple that said, we really like you guys, but we don't like overt God talk. So that's helpful. I mean, that's clear, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't helpful to probably cloak that second part of the invitation.
Yeah, we wanted to be clear. We're not trying to, because I think the thing is, with a good missional community is about authenticity. It's not about hidden agendas.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? Yeah.
Let's just be real about this.
Yeah.
If we're really going to be close friends, God is a massive part of our life. We can't hide that from you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to do life with us, it's going to be part of our life. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So some people opened, some people closed.
Yeah. And in the end, the first time we ran it, the first evening that we ran, including the kids, some of the families brought their kids. We had 25 people who didn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
Were not regular church attenders.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Ben, I'm wondering about you, man. I mean, we're running out of time here, but I'm wondering about you. You know, you guys are establishing something in Ivanhoe, you know?
Yeah.
How does this encourage you, man? Like, what do you have going through your mind right now?
Man, there's just a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In actuality, it all sounds really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the piece that I feel like is most encouraging, is that it's not some big equipping that I need to have. It's looking at the Word and Jesus' model and just saying, I can go and knock on some doors.
Yeah.
And I can invite people into my life.
Yeah.
You know? That's such a brilliantly simple thing.
You feel emboldened, you know? Just to kind of just do it the way Jesus said, do it, and don't make it harder than that.
Yeah, for sure. The practice of it seems
so
real.
That's good.
So doable.
The thing I love about that is it self-filters as well. It's like, if people don't like you knocking on their door, they don't want to get to know you, it's not a problem. It's just like, sorry to bother you. You might hear from me again.
Totally.
Because you're only trying to find the people who want you to do life with them, aren't you? And that's the really liberating thing for me. As a total non-evangelist, you know, I find evangelism really difficult. It's just great because you're only trying to find the people who want to be found, you know?
Yeah,
It's awesome. Wow. Hey, Jack, what about you? Because you're, you know, obviously leading out in Mosaic right now. You're in, Alyssa and I, you're in our leadership pipeline. I don't know if you know this, but, oh, yeah. But you're definitely on deck, man, to multiply a missional community. How's this feeling to you?
I think it's helpful because I do a lot of life in your neighborhood, but I don't live in your neighborhood. And so Paul, what you were saying, for when you're developing someone, it's okay to invite them into your context, even if maybe that's not, my heart might not be beating for Brookside.
Yeah.
It's beating for the Art Institute.
Yeah.
But it's okay to learn in maybe a different context in order to take it back someplace. So I think for me, it's just an encouragement to keep pressing in where we are in our space with the people that we're investing in. It's good that I can take it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah. Well, guys, we're out of time. Paul, this means the world to us, man. We're so glad to have you in Kansas City for the weekend. We're looking forward to this workshop. And, man, thanks so much for coming and for all that you continue to invest in us. We here at the Gathering Network genuinely love you, man, and we look forward to you being here when you're here. So thanks again, and thanks for this today.
Thanks for having me. It's been really great to be with you guys.